Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And Cherie is actually coming in for a second round with us, and she's going to be talking about a book that is being released as a movie this week.
I was super excited to be invited back, and I've wanted to talk about this book. Surprise, surprise, it's A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. This book is a childhood favorite of mine. It's one of my first favorite books growing up that was not about horses.
We all go through that phase, man.
Hey, I'm still in that phase to a large extent. But I loved this book as a child, and I wanted to reread it with the movie coming out and see how it holds up and see if it's still as wonderful as I remember it being. Because of the language that it's written in, with the formality is an excellent word.
Yeah.
I did get some nostalgia feels all the way through. It's been long enough since I read the book that I forgot the pacing of the story arc.
I realized I don't remember a lot of the specifics. I kind of remember more how I felt when I was reading it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I remember some of the plot. I remember how I felt reading it. But the exact pacing of how you go through the events in relative to where they are in the book, I'd forgotten. Very, very short summary. This book's got it all. It's got mysterious strangers. It's got a missing person. It's got a daring rescue. It's got life-threatening danger. And it's got dystopia, but the dystopia is safely on other worlds. When I was a kid, what I loved about this book was the story, the main character, Meg, the fact that she was very smart but also flawed, and the book didn't talk down to me. That's my memory of it from when I was a kid. And when I reread it, I actually read the ebook and listened to the audiobook and picked up the paperbook because we live in a multimedia society now. When I listened to the audiobook, the language that Madeline L'Engle uses really stood out. I either heard or read an interview with Madeline L'Engle talking about how when she was writing this book, publishers didn't want to publish it because they thought it was too smart, that it was too technical for kids. Whereas when she would read the excerpts from the book to her own children at night before bed, her children would say, "Mom, stop reading to us and go back to your typewriter. You need to finish this book." So
that's awesome.
That is pretty awesome. And I will say that on rereading the book, it holds up. The story holds up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the slang and the language does not. The kids in this book call their parents mother and father.
Very formal.
Very formal. Very formal. And Meg's mother is looking into buying her daughter a typewriter for Christmas because her handwriting is so bad that her teachers might not be willing to decipher it. So
we can just pretend she's a hipster, and she wants to write on a typewriter.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Meg might be about to be a modern-day hipster, no. But in the book, the language does reflect the times that it was written, and it was written, I believe, in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. It also uses scientific terminology. This book introduced me to the word tesseract, which is a lifelong favorite word of mine. Mm-hmm. The word protoplasm is in there. I mean, how many times in kids' books do these scientific words get used? And at the same time, what I had forgotten about the book is how much it also ties in spirituality. There's a lot of reference to what I would say words from hymns or from the Bible as part of its storyline and plot point. I loved Meg, Charles Wallace, and Calvin. Those are the three kids that you identify with, and they guide you through this book. Meg's father is, here's another language thing. His father is a physicist who's, quote-unquote, supposed to have left your mother and gone off with some dame.
Oh my gosh, that is priceless.
Yep, so some dame might have been an old-fashioned wording even in the 1960s. Meg's father is missing. A mysterious stranger shows up at night one night and says, "Oh, by the way, dear, there is such a thing as a tesseract." These days we're more familiar with wormholes. If you ever saw SG-1, if you see a lot of science fiction stories, wormholes, same principle. You're taking a shortcut through space. Although the very, very special strangers you meet in this can also tesser through time. Meg and Charles Wallace are the brother and sister who need to find their father. Calvin O'Keefe is the popular kid from down the road who is also special and gets chosen to go on this adventure with them. Mm-hmm. What bothered me a little bit is that while Meg is smart and Meg is special, she's consistently not as smart and not as special as the guys. She's not as smart and not as special as her father. She's not as special and smart as her little brother who's 6 years old. She is more mathematically smart than Calvin O'Keefe, but not as special because tessering is harder for her than it is for the other characters in this story. Mm-hmm. That bothered me a little bit more as a mumble-mumble-something-year-old woman than it ever did when I was a kid.
Right.
I just remember as a preteen thinking I was bad at everything, and I'm like, I'm glad Meg is also not good at everything. That makes me happy.
Yes. You don't have any perfect characters in this book.
Yeah.
The kids aren't perfect, the mysterious strangers are not perfect, and the father and mother are not perfect. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Meg gets her strengths. She's smart. She's the one who understands Charles Wallace better than anybody. One thing I never realized about this book when I was little is that it's the first of several books. I believe, and I'm going to date myself here, when I was reading these books in the 1980s, it was a trilogy. A Wrinkle in Time, A Wind in the Door, and A Swiftly Tilting Planet. Well, when I was a teenager, Many Waters came out, and then An Acceptable Time. A Wrinkle in Time stands on its own, even though it leaves you on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. When I read it, I definitely never picked up the other books. It kind of stood by itself. We usually ask what reader you would recommend this for, but I'm going to specify something that Leslie mentioned. Would you recommend this for a reader that was your age?
I would recommend this for a reader my age, because if you're a reader my age, you probably read it as a kid and you might want to see how does it hold up. I want to go back and visit that story. Sometimes when you go back and visit childhood favorites, you kind of wish you'd left them being childhood favorites because they don't hold up at all.
I had that happen with a Marguerite Henry book at one point.
Oh. I will say that reading A Wrinkle in Time again, if I were reading it for the first time now, I probably wouldn't love it as much as I do because of my also childhood memories of it. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy reading it over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to be moving on into our game show portion where we will put some game show music in. And then ask you a slightly different question than we normally ask. We normally ask to cast the main characters, but as we said earlier, the movie's coming out in a few days, so it's too late. Are there any decisions that you've heard of that you disagree with, or are you just waiting to see how it turns out?
I'm waiting to walk into the experience and just love it for what it is. Mm-hmm. I've been actively avoiding spoilers for this movie. I couldn't avoid seeing some of the casting, but I'm excited to see the movie, and I'm going to work hard to remember that the movie and the book, they're different. That's always the case with books that get transferred mm-hmm. into movies. So I'm going to go see the movie A Wrinkle in Time and see how I like it for itself.
Yeah.
Separately from the book.
I'm usually a hardcore skeptic when it comes to movies, but I got chills when I saw the trailer for mm-hmm. it in the theaters.
Okay, so next we're going to get to our rapid fire round where Leslie is going to ask one of five questions and we ask for little to no explanation.
So what music would you put with this book?
Something timeless.
If the main character was a superhero, what power would she have?
Is there such a thing as super math?
Super math. I'm sure you can make it a thing.
I don't remember. Are there any animals in the book?
I believe the Murrays have a dog.
And what is the most memorable description of the main character?
Obstinate.
Obstinate.
that word wasn't specifically used, I don't think, but very definitely Meg is stubborn.
Okay.
I know you have nieces. Would you recommend it to your nieces?
Yes.
We're going to go to our roll of the dice round where you're going to roll two die and read the random sentence that comes up.
Page 16, line 4. Would you care for some hot chocolate, Mrs. Wetsit?
I would.
I know, it would be perfect right now.
Hot chocolate is always good.
All right, well, thank you so much for bringing this book and talking about it. It kind of gave me all the nostalgic feels.
I'm very excited for the movie, and I should probably go and read the book again as well.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that it mostly stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And stay tuned next week for more exciting book recommendations.